Paul says it all when he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Again, since there is no law, it will take that formula to make marriage work. There must be victory within to have victory without. There's something called gentleness that doesn't get too much attention these days. There's more emphasis upon the executive image, less femininity. The word implies nobility, consideration, soothing, mild disposition, good breeding, well-mannered. For centuries, women have been designated the gentle sex. You can win, lady, with gentleness when all else fails. Esther did. She faced a vulgar, bruising situation, but Esther had the weapons. If it seems good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I prepared for him. She could have given Ahasuerus the either-or treatment. He wasn't in the frame of mind to be told. Esther believed that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. She believed that by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. It worked for this great wife. She avoided any rough, incriminating language. There was nothing shrewish about it. Esther, she said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, if it please the king, gentleness can make you a winner. Wife, you'll be surprised what a smile can do. Every frown costs you in your marriage. An old gambler, introduced by a young gambler to the young gambler's wife, asked, how can you be such a wife to such a husband? Her lips trembled and tears appeared. She replied, my husband is a poor gambler, and I have prayed for him that God would save him. But God does not answer my prayer, and one day he will die. But I will make this life as pleasant as possible to him. And then the old gambler turned on the younger man and said, how can you be such a husband to such a wife? That was enough. The younger man answered, I'm going to surrender to God and wife. I must and I will, with God's help, live a better life. Gentleness will win. But there's temperance in this formula. It's true, wife. You can go just so far. There are limits. There is restraint. You are under no mandate to make your home duplicate to a downtown bar or a country club saloon. You go into partnership with God, not with the devil. You are a homemaker and not a homebreaker. You have a right to set your foot down as a partner, and God will stand with you. Yes, it is the business of every wife to entertain, to act as hostess. It can be, and it ought to be, a proud moment for a woman of the house. Guests will respect your convictions. Ask them to leave their smoking outside. Ask them to leave their shady stories outside. You have a right to ask that their manners fit your preparations. A believer is neither a wet blanket nor a soft touch. Peter says to add to your knowledge temperance. Know where to draw the line. You can't win with a greasy face. Neither can you win with a burlesque makeup. You can't win by outlawing television in your home. Neither can you win by surrendering your home to television. You can't win by cutting yourself off from your children's games. Neither can you win by sacrificing the prayer meeting. Solomon said of such a woman, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also. He praiseth her. There's joy in this formula. God certainly meant a wife to sparkle, to radiate. Some women interpret a marriage license as a quarantine notice. It's as though they had contracted a deadly disease. Paul gets to the tap root. Defraud ye not one the other. Don't take advantage. Don't take undue advantage of your relationship and contract. Make it pleasant for one another. Communicate strength. Joy is a source of strength. Compatibility nurtures health. Elizabeth must have been that kind of wife to her husband, the father of John the Baptist. She filled the parsonage with song. Luke says, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Determine now to make a happy home. A happy home is a peaceful home. Show me a wife who is a peacemaker, and I'll show you a winner. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It's insanity to look for trouble or to stir trouble. A woman with that unresolved habit isn't ready for marriage. Gloom is a virus. It multiplies congestion. It causes inflammation. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, manifested in coordinating your dress. Don't meet your husband at the door with unkempt, stringy hair, nails, and runny hose. Manifested in your perfume, manifested in your centerpiece on your table, manifested with a constant sense that you love your home, you love him for providing for it. Thanks are always in good taste. Another something delicious is long-suffering. It's a choice fruit. It means to bear and forbear. You don't get it all in one package, honey. Perfect people disappear. Enoch disappeared. So don't nag. Help. It took 2 years for Mrs. Ward to help me quit saying, I'm going to take my clothes off, and to say, rather, I'm going to put my pajamas on. It seldom helps to give anyone a piece of your mind. How big a piece will you give? It usually results in giving a piece of your tongue. And Christ holds you responsible, wife, to show fruit. That is the designated work of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is. That brings me to an extremely serious moment with you. Christ has an axe in hand. Behold, he said, these 3 years I come seeking fruit and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? That raised an alarm. Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Some of you have an inward warning. You are alarmed. You may be on probation. It's time to get to work. It's time to remember all the assistance you can. This may be your final opportunity. You have drifted, lady. You've done nothing to improve your situation. Your fruitless example is an embarrassment to our Lord. Look around you. The axe is laid at the root of many a good tree in your town. You ask why? This is the answer. You can't be passive, negative. You must be affirmative. The formula begins with love. Return as I have had to. Return every year my Christian experience to the challenge. Love never faileth. It's something eternal to love. There are husbands who have never known what it is to be loved. It has never entered the marital relationship. They are numb with bondage. The fetters of finance, insurance, property, education, food, transportation have imprisoned these men. There's no compensation. They feel she doesn't care for me, only for what I can provide. Paul says it when he says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The answer is inside, lady, within yourself. You must bloom and blossom under the impetus of God. There's no chance whatever if you remain static. It takes much more than a few frantic moments of honeymoon to be a wife. It's a big, big job to be a wife. You don't become one automatically when the preacher says, I pronounce you to be husband and wife. That's the start. Do you love? The bridegroom says in the Song of Solomon, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. That is the great consummation, the delights. Are the fruit of love. Love isn't something you pretend. It breaks forth in branch and stem. It's fruit. Love affords the supreme command. Love can argue. Love will contend. Love will pledge itself. Love will cry. God created above all else in his universe his masterpiece with the ability to love. A woman, his design, his pattern of feeling instilled in her, his choice of instincts for her, make her the fountain for love. The wife, this is your orchard. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. No plaintiff can successfully oppose this combination. Against such, there is no law. God gave Eve a garden and a husband. She allowed an intruder to violate that garden. And the devil will do the same in your case, wife, if you don't claim that orchard for God. There is a glory, an effulgence to the meeting, when from the opening there's a hunger, a visible move to get to the after service as quickly as the preaching of the word will permit. And thank God for that achievement here and these electrifying 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you, for you.
Letty Haynes knelt with us as the long altar found her at Claremore, Oklahoma. Now she testifies, I found a place there to pour out my heart for an 85-year-old brother who had never experienced God's grace. He was, to put it mildly, an 85-year-old sinner. But now he's saved, well and happy, and Jesus is so real to me. Mrs. Hazel Turner knelt as the long older founder at Sepulpa, Oklahoma. I had needs that society could not meet. Our daughter and the entire family have been brought to God. God has filled her with his spirit and blessed her husband, an executive with American Airlines in the Tulsa area. And Miss Georgina Hardy knelt with us too, as the long older founder at Parry Sound, Ontario, Canada. For the ward, I needed a household, and I listed it with God at the long altar. It was sold within a few days. I believe in this daily walk with God with all my heart. I wouldn't substitute it for all the sophisticated psychiatric analysis anywhere on earth. Prayer is more than repeating words. Our Father who art in heaven, this altar leans all the way toward thee. We make no other confession than that Jesus of Nazareth is thy only begotten Son, and we know him as the friend of sinners. Let this always be a Pentecostal altar in the truest sense, where thy promise made to the disciples is redeemed and seen in action every day and in every walk of life. I pray for the troubled and the bound. I pray for the underprivileged and the invalid. I pray for the institutionalized. God, our Father, there's enough heartbreak, enough crime, enough debt, enough war. Increase the tempo of thy gospel. Raise up more evangelists. Fill the streets with witnesses. Invade our homes and marriages with a hunger for decency. And hear our petition mingled with praise. We are not unhappy. Only burden for the sorrow and havoc fastened on mankind by the devil. Sanctify our hearts toward thee. Amen. The Lord's presence is so real. Now in loving kindness, Jesus has come to fill these moments with his signature, as he did that memorable twilight at Emmaus. The Savior shepherd surgeon sees at this altar a young man kneeling in excruciating agony of mind and soul. His wife, of such a short period of marriage, has said she will leave, and he doesn't know why, nor can she establish any fault on his part. A darkness has come between. He cannot penetrate it, nor can any earthly marriage counsel, but Jesus can and is. He undertakes to rebuke this parasite of foulness. And you will know it, young husband. It will draw you both close to God and eternally alarmed toward a world system that offers nothing but infection. Give all the praise to Jesus. I'm his servant evangelist. You have found the meeting. The Holy Spirit arranged to have you present. These moments of ministry have been his investment in you. Bless him that you have been wonderfully included. And the same Holy Spirit will find you and incorporate you in the meeting in the air. You can take nothing with you in your presence of the twinkling of an eye. So use it as we are to spread this message this week and never compromise from your conviction that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.